Today's episode of Hard Factor is brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. How did you get ready today? Did you shower, brush your teeth, wash your face, style your hair? I'm asking because as a proud member of Dollar Shave Club, I'm here to tell you that no matter what you do to get ready, Dollar Shave Club has everything you need to feel and smell your best. You want a clean mouth and fresh breath? The intense peppermint flavor of DSC's toothpaste will wake you up and knock that morning breath right off your face. This stuff really is amazing. It's the best toothpaste on the market. Their hydrating body cleanser and shampoo are great too. They'll leave you smelling fresh and sexy, ready to attack the rest of your day. Anyhow, I hope showering and brushing your teeth are part of your morning routine, but no matter what you do to get ready, DSC has everything you need. And I haven't even mentioned their razors and shave butter that everybody knows them for. And right now, you can get a Dollar Shave Club starter set for just $5 each. They've got a shower set, toothpaste and toothbrush set, and their famous shave butter and razor set. Any one of these sets are just $5, and it's the best way to try out their amazing products. After your starter set, products continue to ship at their regular price. Get yours today at dollarshaveclub.com/hard. That's dollarshaveclub.com/hard.
What it is?
This is
the Macho Man Randy Savage.
And this is
Hard Factor. And there is no one that does it better.
Right now, yeah.
Nobody does it better.
I ain't repeating myself. Go ahead, tell me something right now.
Yeah, and I'm living in a nightmare.
And I'm not a racist.
And I'm always cheering.
Oh, yeah.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of Hard Factor. It is Monday, October 8th. Our top stories for the day. Pat's going to do one about the Kavanaugh confirmation on Saturday and the corresponding protests throughout the weekend.
Here we go again.
Yeah, hopefully for the last time forever, or maybe just a while. And after that, we've got an interview with Robbie Fox. We're going to break down the highlights of UFC 229. It was an amazing fight card that ended in a huge melee between the Khabib camp and everyone else in the building. So we'll get to that with Robbie. And then Wes is going to take us through some other headlines. Take it away, Pat.
All right. God damn it. We're going to talk about Brett Kavanaugh again. Hopefully he makes nothing but sound decisions that are representative of the opinions of the majority of the American people for the rest of his lifetime appointment. And we'll never have to cover him again on Hard Factor.
Yeah, good Supreme Court justices, you shouldn't know their name. They should be never in the headlines, and you don't have to worry about them ever.
Yeah, if you can name every Supreme Court justice by first and last name, then you're too smart to be listening to this show.
So Kavanaugh's in, right? That's what's up. And when it came time for him to be sworn into his new position as Judge Daddy Dick number 9, trademark, Mike Pence kicked things off with a warning to the gallery saying, quote, "As a reminder to our guests in the gallery, expressions of approval or disapproval are not permitted in the Senate gallery." And I appreciate that Pence was coming at things trying to be fair and trying to include folks who might want to interrupt with words of approval as well as disapproval.
Pence is like, "I want everyone to remind everyone that the gallery is much like me eating dinner with women. Should be very respectful."
Yes. Silent. Do not make eye contact with anybody.
Yes. Unless I ask you for a condiment. All right, look, it was a busy day for the Sergeant at Arms. When the Sergeant at Arms, for those of you guys who don't know, is essentially like the Ed Hockley of the Senate. He kind of keeps things in order, and he's at arms. And Pence was calling on him consistently with his gavel anytime anyone interrupted the hearing. A lot of women saying, "I do not consent. I do not consent." That seemed to be the consensus of the protests.
Good. Well, I'm glad they don't consent to the Supreme Court confirmation.
Yes, I will say that Pence with that gavel, man, he was meant to hold that thing. He's very stoked. So now he's in. What does that mean? Well, Democratic Congressman Ted Lieu of Florida took to TV and he promised that there will be an investigation into Kavanaugh if the Dems flip the House to hold a majority in November. So, okay, Ted, we already had an investigation, but let's have another one, I guess. Sure.
Yeah. Cool. This one will get him out of office.
Yeah. He's like, I don't even want him out of office. I just want to hear about all of his cool drinking stories.
Yes. Anyway, this is a divisive time in our country, and here's an example of it. Police were called to the home of a Central Texas woman who made a yard sign to protest Kavanaugh's appointment. The sign depicted the Republican elephant. You guys know the one? And it had its trunk up a young girl's skirt to a smell around, I guess. I don't know how elephants work. Anyway, the reason this is in the news is because the Texas Agriculture Commissioner, Sid Miller, brought it to our attention when he posted pictures of the sign on Facebook saying, quote, "This is supposed to be Judge Kavanaugh's young daughter. The Democratic sleaze knows no bounds."
Yeah. What? Only in Sid Miller's mind is that Kavanaugh's young daughter.
Sid Miller's fantasy.
Where did he get the information that it was Kavanaugh's young daughter?
Absolutely. All right, by Sid. No means Kavanaugh's young daughter.
People are just snapping at Sid all day. Like, Sid.
Yep. Sid Miller sounds like the kind of guy that brushes his teeth with a glass of whiskey.
Yeah, Sid's social photo literally is the biggest cowboy hat I've ever seen. And I've been in Texas
like,
10 years.
Yeah, he's like, and the elephant is supposed to be me. Like, what?
Yeah. Get out of my head.
This is terrible.
Stay out of my dreams. Anyway, some say that the woman who painted the protest sign was told to remove it by the police, which I guess this is America now. That sucks. On the note of it being Kavanaugh's daughter, she was just copying a political cartoon that she saw on the post. So,
right. Yeah, it clearly wasn't supposed to be Kavanaugh's daughter.
That wasn't the only protest that went on all day. I mean, no. You see those fucking people trying to get into the doors of the Supreme Court.
It was amazing. There's 10 people like with their bare hands trying to claw open these giant like brass doors. This is like 5 tons of steel. They're trying to claw their way through.
The Jurassic Park doors. They were trying to get in with their bare hands.
They had no chance. What were they? They're so angry. They knew they had no chance. They were like zombies. Like,
oh yeah.
Now we're going to kick it over to Barstool UFC MMA expert Robbie Fox to talk about the pay-per-view that rocked the entire world this weekend.
What's up, Robbie?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you. I was about to say, is that your only build-up? I would call him the preeminent MMA journalist out there right now.
Yeah, forget Barstool. I mean, like, did you intimidate the rest of the journalists in the pit at the weigh-in, Robbie?
I don't know if I intimidated them, but I definitely pissed them off. Then all of the MMA media really dislikes it when I show up wearing like a full Kelly Green jumpsuit that says Team McGregor all over it, because you know you're supposed to be unbiased in the sport or whatever. I don't know, professionalism. But I don't really care. As Conor McGregor would say, I don't give a fook.
There you go.
So yeah, I was mixing it up with some of the media. Some of the media gets it, and other people are like, "How could you disrespect this sport by wearing green to the weigh-ins?" And it's like, "Oh Jesus, give me a fucking break."
They're just fucking jealous that Connor called your name out in the weigh-ins.
Yeah, that was wild. Yeah, that was wild.
So tell us about the week overall. What were like the three top highlights you'd say for covering the fights in Vegas this week?
Oh God, it'd be a lot easier to tell you the three lowlights after last night, but
go for it.
You can do that too. You can go for that.
Let's go low.
Oh my God, guys. I mean, how long do we have? This could be a therapy session. The fourth round of the fight, the second round of the fight, the first round of the fight. Connor actually did okay in the third round of the fight. Everything that transpired after the fight where I was like, I got to get the fuck out of here. And I was running away, and Connor's security, who was sitting next to me, was like, you should get out of here. I was like, okay. And then as soon as I got up to the concourse, by the way, like there were like three fights going on the concourse. Like the one concourse fight video that's like kind of going viral is one that I saw in person. And damn. I felt like, you know, that gif from Community where Donald Glover walks into the room with a pizza and like everything's on fire. I walked up to the concourse and I was just like, ah, what the fuck?
It's just like you're in Eastern Europe war zone somewhere. Like,
out there. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and with a target on my head.
That's what happened, right? The first brawl set off just everyone, like, Irish versus, like, Russians, right? Like, that's what was going on. Just fights everywhere.
Yeah, there were fights all over the crowd, all over the concourse, outside the arena, on the strip. It was chaos in the streets.
Weren't there fights actually taking place between the Russians and the Irish before the fight even started?
Yeah, at weigh-ins. There was one fight at weigh-ins. It was between, like, two 35-year-old couples. It was very weird.
That's right. That's when I saw. That's when I saw.
Super strange. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Both the men and the women, but it was couples. It was a couple.
Oh,
battle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And one of the women hits like a purse swing. She like swings her purse at the other one and drops her with it. It was electric.
It was like a mixed tag team match.
Yeah, no, and there were chairs everywhere. It was like a TLC match without the TL.
That's crazy. All right, we'll get into the post-fight melee in a second. But here's a question about some of the other fights. Was Derek Lewis's post-fight speech as amazing in the arena as it was on TV?
Yes, it was. Well, I'll have a disclaimer and say that the entire pay-per-view, in hindsight, was amazing. I thought it was great. Very, very good. You know, Michelle Waterson, Felice Herring was great. Volkov and Lewis is great. Obviously, the co-main event was round two, maybe round of the year. But everything, I was so nervous leading up to the main event for Conor that, like, I couldn't even focus on anything at the time.
You were blacked out a little bit?
I was blacked out a little bit.
Were you guys texting each other, or...?
I was like, hey, give him hell, champ. Derek Lewis, though, the fact that he took his shorts off and Rogan was like, why did you take your shorts off? And he's like, my balls were hot. And he's like, okay. And then somebody explained it to Dana White afterwards, and I actually think I might have liked that better than better than the speech itself. They were like, what do you have to say about Derek Lewis taking his shorts off in the octagon? And Dana White was like, Derek Lewis took his shorts off in the octagon? And they were like, yeah, he says balls were hot. And Dana just like had this expression on his face that was just like, I can't believe what tonight has become. And he said, I really wish that were the worst thing that happened tonight.
Pat actually does that in the podcast studio sometimes when he gets too hot, because he wears pants all the time and he takes his pants off sometimes.
I don't look good in shorts.
Yeah, well, let's go to the next things that are going to happen. One, do you want to see like a rematch between these two, and what do you think is going to be the fallout?
It's tough because Conor tweeted today like, good crack, look forward to the rematch, and it's like I saw it up close and personal last night, and I don't know if I want to see a rematch. Now that being said, yeah, it was super dominant. I'm not denying that Conor got absolutely, as Habib would say, smeshed last night. He was smeshed. He got mauled, absolutely dominated. That being said, call me crazy, I think Conor could win the rematch. But the fallout from this, I think Habib's going to get a lengthy suspension that it could lead to him getting stripped of the title, you know, depending on how long the suspension is. And then I think you do Tony Ferguson, who won the co-main event at 155 pounds, versus the winner of Nate Diaz and Dustin Poirier at UFC 230, the next pay-per-view. You do that for the vacant title, and then you could do Conor versus the loser of that fight. You could do Conor versus GSP. If you wanted to, you could wait for a suspension and do the rematch, Conor and Habib again. There's definitely a few options for Conor. I'm just glad that I do believe he will be back in the sport.
I don't want to see, you know, Khabib versus McGregor again, because it's not entertaining here.
And also, just on a personal, selfish level, I'm good with dealing with the Russian mob putting hits on me, this, that. Like, can we go towards, like, I want to see Conor versus, like, Sage Northcutt next, just so Sage Northcutt could be like, hello, Mr. McGregor. How are you?
There you go. Speaking of all that, with you know, all the intensity around it, how do you think Dana White handled it last night?
I actually thought Dana White did a pretty good job. Dana White, like, I flip back and forth on Dana White sometimes. I think sometimes the way he criticizes certain fighters or doesn't promote certain fighters or divisions is sort of shitty, and he's definitely known to be, like, a compulsive liar. But I thought his handling of last night was as good as it could have gotten.
I love Dana White. I've always loved Dana White. I think he's the biggest star in the UFC. It's like Dana White, then McGregor, the top two guys.
I love when Dana White calls people a goof. It's become like one of my favorite insults, because he means it. He doesn't mean it like, ah, oh, we're goofing around. He thinks that's the worst insult you could call someone. he's like, you fucking goof.
He's a goof.
The old guy calling you a goober.
So when we did an interview with him for Pardon My Take, that was my question. I was like, Darren Rafael or Ariel Helwani, who's the bigger goof?
Who did he say?
He said Ariel by a landslide.
He hates that guy.
Yeah, hates him.
Yeah. All right, well, I think that's all the questions we got for you and all the time we got today, Robbie. Everybody read Robbie's coverage of UFC 229. He's got a blog coming out. It's going to be fucking incredible. It's probably the most entertaining card that the Hard Factor guys have seen ever. So definitely check out Robbie's content. Follow @RobbieBarstool to stay up to date with everything you need to know. Thank you, Robbie.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, yeah!
Okay, now for some other topics that we did not get to cover. In the most deadly transportation tragedy since 2009, 20 people, including an entire party and limo driver, as well as two pedestrians not inside the limo, died Sunday when the limo failed to stop at an intersection.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no word on whether...
How big was this limo?
It was a Ford Expedition limo, so one of the biggest ones you can get without it being just a bus, pretty much. Basically a bus. So no word on whether the driver was speeding or the brakes failed or anything. Apparently this was kind of like a troublesome intersection. As of this podcast, the 20 people lost their lives and what was supposed to be like, you know, an amazing day, a fun day. So it's just
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah, I don't know. Whoa.
Happy Monday. Yeah.
That sucks.
What else, Wes?
Okay. Thanks, Wes.
On a lighter note, Stormy Daniels says she feels terrible for body-shaming President Trump. In case you forgot, in her new book, she says, quote, "He knows he has an unusual penis. It has a huge mushroom head, like a toadstool." This, of course, you know, sparked a bunch of Mario Kart jokes and just, you know, all that kind of stuff over the internet. Stormy says she did not mean to hurt the president, but only wanted to provide enough detail to prove she was not lying about the alleged affair.
Hey, Stormy, you like fame a little bit, huh? You like publicly say the president has a toadstool dick and then get an interview to say that you feel bad about it. Give me a fucking break.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, it's like everyone forgot about it, and then now I have to bring it back up by saying that I feel bad about it. It's total bullshit.
The more that I think about it, this kind of sheds light on the President Trump's handshake technique where he really grabs on. That's like probably the same thing that his toadstool dick does during sex.
You mean he just shakes your hand with his pointer finger and middle finger?
Like a larger head goes in there and it's gonna be harder to get it out.
He locks in.
It's like a dog. He like locks in.
Yeah, it's locked in.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Maybe okay. So. Interesting.
Can we get an animator on that?
Moving on. James Bunner, a news reporter who was covering a Trump rally for a local NBC affiliate news channel, was fired because he chose to wear one of those red Make America Great Again hats. The station's news director said, quote, "Our news standards of professional journalism do not allow our reporters to wear partisan political campaign clothing while actively covering a political campaign event for this television station." He went on to say, "We work hard to be neutral and unbiased towards all political parties and candidates, as long as they're Democratic."
You can't wear one party's clothing, is what he has to say. Yeah.
What network was it again, Wes?
NBC.
Right.
Are they a little liberal over there?
Oh, you think? Yeah. If this had happened on Fox, no problem.
A prominent Saudi journalist, Jamal Khashoggi, I'm not really sure how to say that, Jamal, a Washington Post writer and outspoken critic of Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman's leadership, is believed to have been killed inside the Saudi Arabian consulate in Istanbul, Turkey. Apparently, he entered the consulate with a friend to obtain marriage documents for his upcoming wedding while his fiancée waited outside, but never came back. Initial reports that are that a team of Saudis killed him inside the consulate and may have dismembered his body to get it out of the consulate undetected. The Saudi government is denying all of this, saying that he actually did leave the consulate, but no video has been released.
At what point did his fiance give up? Yeah. She's just waiting there.
They're saying that he just spontaneously fell apart into 20 pieces. They had nothing to do with it. He just fell apart like Mr. Potato Head.
Like Mr. Potato Head. Oh, Jesus Christ.
He's coming out. I know he's coming out.
The famous street artist Banksy is making headlines again. It seems years ago, Banksy installed a shredder into the frame of one of his famous paintings, Girl with a Red Balloon, in case it was ever sold at auction. Well, on Friday at Sotheby's auction house in London, just after being sold for $1.4 million, the shredder went into action and shred about half the painting before it could be stopped or malfunctioned. There's a video of this, and it's pretty cool. You can see all these art snobs' reactions. They're just in shock that it's happening. My guess is the painting is now going to be worth more money in its state, the half shred, if you go by how just ridiculous the art world is. So
the art world's pretty confusing, and I'm not really into it. And further to my point, I don't think Banksy's that cool. Being like the underground cool voice of like the fucking art movement and graffiti and stuff is not exactly like being Batman and stopping crime and like being a badass. I think yes. Banksy's a little bitch.
A fictitious superhero comic book character created by an artist.
Well, Banksy's a loser, and so are his followers.
All right. On that note, that is it for Hard Factor for today. Thanks for listening once again. Please subscribe. We really appreciate all the comments we're seeing on iTunes and the feedback we're getting on Twitter. Please keep doing it. Be sure to check out Robbie Fox's blog. That's it. We'll see you again tomorrow.